Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Quickly, this is Jesus, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. There he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, we started out this series speaking about dealing with real life issues, getting healed without scars, scars meaning no aftermath, no trauma, all right, from the experiences that we might have had in the past that were painful. And we use this portion of scripture to show that Jesus listed six things he was anointed to do. Two of those things were to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that were bruised. One third of his commission was to deal with the hidden wounds in the souls of people. That is, people that are brokenhearted, people that have been bruised or wounded on the inside. He understood the importance of it, as regards people being able, even basically, to live whole and complete lives, to maintain healthy relationships, to build successful families. He understood that without that inner healing, the things that are even described in scriptures cannot be lived out. In Isaiah 61, where we have that same commission, all right, elaborated, it goes on and says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it says, the vengeance, the year of the vengeance of our God. To comfort all them that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So Jesus said, I've come to comfort all that mourn. You don't mourn about something that is going to happen in the future. You mourn about something that has already happened. To mourn means to have a sense of regret and sorrow about something that has happened, which means a sense of regret. So Jesus understood that he had to deal with issues that were in our past, which means that even though he has come to save man, and to give him a future, exceeding great and precious promises, without addressing the issues in the past of the person, without giving comfort to those in areas where they're mourning, without bringing out beauty from the ashes of past destruction, granting the oil of joy to come from the places where there has been mourning, that it will be extremely difficult to expect that those people will enter into the future that he has prepared for them. I mean, when we look at the nation of Israel, all right, and all that Satan has, even on humanity, are things from the past. Now, we said this, that we preach a faith message. which is right to talk about we are new creatures in Christ, but then we do not really explain how people will appropriate these things, make them real in their bodies. We're just with a wave of hands say that, well, all things are passed away, you know, forget about the past. And those things are haunting, those things are influencing, and those things are affecting the lives of people today. People are suffering from wounds that have been inflicted in the past. The nation of Israel suffered from that. They got to the verge of the promised land. Was it that they didn't know the will of God? They knew the will of God in express terms. This is the promised land. They entered into it and tasted of the grapes, brought it back, but somehow, somewhere, they could not see themselves. They said the land was good, but the problem is with us. We as grasshoppers, they had a very low self-esteem. They had an inner image of themselves that had been thoroughly battered, right, in Egypt. And that heart had not been repaired. And so they couldn't see themselves being in possession of those things. And it's the same method that Satan is employing today to try to weaken members of the body of Christ. And if we don't address these areas, then his stronghold. If you go to war, all right, they said the greatest strategy. I was listening to a woman who had led campaigns in America, and she had read, she said her boss, all right, told her back then to read everything on strategy, everything you could find, every battle that had been fought in the wars that had been fought in the past. Gave her layers of books, all right, read everything. Read Sun Tzu, read everything. She said the end of all strategy is know your enemy well, which means understand what your enemy wants to use against you. Understand what the opposition is coming to the table with. This is what Satan has always used, the past of people, the past of the nation of Israel. Yes, God, you can promise them a glorious future, but I will lock them in their past. I will affect them from their childhood such that when they reach that place, they will look at the promised land, they will be able to explain it very well, but they will find it difficult to accept that those things you have promised them can happen to them because of the oppression, because of the abuse, because of the rejection, because of the ill treatment. And we've seen that in the book of Hebrews, these wounds, all right, if they are left unaddressed, can be devastating. Paul said that let the lame foot be healed rather than being turned out of the way. In other words, when anybody is turned out of the way, it's because they are not healed. So when you see a person, a group of people get turned out of the way, is coming out of a wound inside their soul. Some wound that was unresolved, lying deep within their consciousness there. The church doesn't go into that area. We don't talk about it. People might be carrying wounds on the inside of them. It is not visible on their faces. But you can see a person who seems all happy and all of this. One day they said, well, he committed suicide. From where? How did it happen? It's coming out of these hidden wounds within their soul. These places where they have been badly bruised on the inside, that it's only known unto them. And nobody taught them, nobody showed them how these things can be resolved, how God has a clear plan and a pathway in the covenant where you can come to him with those things, and not only will he heal people completely of those things, he will also bring out on the bitter waters, all right, into sweet waters there, and transform, right, the lives of people and change things, all right, completely within the lives of people. So there are wounds that are lying on the inside. We try to correct behavioral patterns, but we are saying these behavioral patterns are stemming out of these wounds, right, that are really the hidden stuff behind a lot of behavioral manifestations that we seek to correct. All right, we look into conflicts at home. We seek to correct that. But we don't understand that these are simply manifestations of wounds. If these wounds get healed, those things will completely disappear. Gave an example on the second Sunday where we taught on this about a woman who wrote a blog about how she was bullied while she was in school. I mean, you hear of people being bullied and suddenly they commit suicide. All right? Now, that's even physical self-destruction. But what that means is that when people are bullied and oppressed, then they hate themselves, they hate their lives, all right? They internalize things in ways that people, all right, really don't understand and appreciate, and we don't address those things. And this lady said she was bullied. Now, she stood up to her bully and one day asked him, "Why are you treating me this way?" They were in school together, and the boy broke down into tears, just one question. And he said, "Look, you have something that I do not have. That's why I fight you." And she said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Look, I came out of a broken home. First thing is that my father and my mother separated. And then I went with my mother, and then she married somebody else. And this, my new stepfather, started beating me, and the mother didn't do anything." Now, look at what this young man is saying. Number one, the father and the mother separated. The father walked away and left him with the mother. First rejection he got from the father. In other words, the father said, "Look, you are not, I really don't want to spend time with you. I'll go out with some other woman that is more important than even you." Then you identify with your mother and look for comfort there. Then she marries somebody else, and this somebody else starts beating you. And she doesn't intervene. In other words, the second parent has chosen somebody else above him now, which means this person is more important, second form of emotional abuse. Number three, then the physical abuse now gets into it. Locks him up in a room, in a cupboard for 2 days without food and all of that. Comes out wounded. Now, if that lady didn't speak up to him, challenge him, and then he broke down and cried, and then they sought for help and all of that, he will have gone into life wounded, angry, all right, injuring other people and treating other people, all right, that way. And it's when we understand these things and begin to address these areas, right, that we begin to deal with the root cause. We are dealing with a lot with the symptoms and leaving the root cause. Dr. Roy Hicks said this. He said, "By spending time in the Word of God, we may deal with symptoms one after another. You can deal with a domineering attitude, argumentative behavior," all right? Those kind of things that are signs that somebody has wounds on the inside, right? You deal with the symptoms one after another, but things will become much easier, he said, if we have insight into the root cause. Dr. Lil Yeoman, she was a medical doctor, by training, but also a foremost faith and healing teacher, and one that influenced Kenneth Hagin greatly. In fact, Kenneth Hagin always had a book of Lil Yeoman in his briefcase wherever he went throughout his life. He said he will make sure every day he read something that the woman said. And in one of her books, she said she went to this small town, and in this small town, they were suffering from typhoid fever. And she went there and started treating them as a medical doctor. But she realized that the fever kept spreading and spreading. Young people that were bright were dying, all right? And all of that was going on. And she went on and said, "I would have been guilty of criminal negligence if I hadn't taken steps to have the source of the infection discovered with the view of shutting it off completely." And this is what we're saying. We want to have the source of these things, all right, these things discovered with the intent of cutting these things out of people's lives completely. And she said when they found out, it was the best thing that happened to those farmers when they discovered that the typhoid fever was due to dead hogs in their water supply. So there were dead hogs, like pigs, inside their water supply. And because those things were rotting away and contaminating the water was flowing, they would drink out of it, take it home and cook, and people were falling ill. The minute they removed those hogs out of the water, purified it there, what happened was that the plague completely stopped. So we're saying people, you know, might have conflicts at home, all right, in marriages, things are abusive and all of that. And people are trying to resolve, that loves me, does it not love me and all of that. but the thing is coming probably from a 30-year-old wound that was left unaddressed. 15-year-old broken heart that was not properly healed. And once, you know, an area, there's a wound there, you start touching. When you get to some areas, you feel the pain. And so there are trigger areas in the life of that person or people there that creates these things. Now, let's look at an example here of this waters matter. Look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23. It says this about Moses. All right? Moses was with the children of Israel, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of the place was called Marah. Okay? Which obviously means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast the tree into the waters were made sweet. In other words, these were bitter waters coming out. He prayed, God showed him a tree. He threw the tree into the waters, and the bitter waters became sweet. Like what Joseph said, you meant it for evil. What you did was bitter. But then God turned it around and brought about something sweet from this experience. And this tree here is a type of the cross, which means that Jesus hung upon the tree. And when we understand what we throw into the bitter experiences of our lives, then sweet waters begin to come out of it. And he says, he made for them a statute and ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So the waters there were the waters that were bringing disease. And he said, I've healed you of these bitter waters. And in healing you of the bitter waters, I've healed you, all right, of the ailments that we have in Egypt. Now, let's look at a New Testament example of this. If we go to James chapter 3, looking at bitter and sweet waters, James said it this way. He said, verse chapter 3 and verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame, it's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wherewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth cometh blessings and cursing. In other words, this is what God is saying. He said, I look at you in service, and it's time to bless God. And you sing glorious songs to me. I hear you, you sing, you even shed tears while you are singing. All right, and you bless God. He said, but the problem I have is that by the time you get to your car, you are cursing your spouse out. So didn't I tell you, why did you sit in that kind of place? I don't understand why. You always, always do stupid things. Always do stupid things. And he said, you just finished with one mouth, you are blessing me. And then with the same mouth, you are cursing somebody who is in the image of me. He said, which image? Which image? I'm saying always. Do you understand this? And with that same mouth you curse, God said, look, there is a problem here. All right? You will one mouth bless me. You sing Abala, no man, tongues, interpretation, everything, prophecy. You get home, you will wind down. You the stupid man. I didn't tell you to open the gate. You useless man. That's why your life is like this. That's why your life is like this. Please open the gate door. We're coming from church. I want to come and eat lunch. But when you were in church, you were Jesus. Oh, my yada. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. All right? He said, with one mouth, you bless God. He said, that same mouth, you curse men. You say, well, but God, you are God now. They are men. You expect God to have them? They are men. And I want to see this. We'll get to it at the end of the message. That you can't have that true worship experience if you are cursing men. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means that you can't really have that love experience with God if you don't have that kind of love for humanity. We'll see this. All right? So it says, out of the same place comes what does a fountain send forth at the same place. Sweet and bitter waters. Same place. a fountain is sending it. And one who sees that these things are coming from the areas of people's lives where those wounds and bruises are, right? Those sharp words of saying, I've told you, you always do stupid things, is coming out of the wounds inside the heart of that person, all right? Coming out from the broken places inside the life of that person. And if that is left unresolved and it is not completely healed, then it will be impossible to have that wholesome relationship with God and at the same time also with man. How do we see this? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 7. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 7. It says this, as a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is hid in her. But God said, before me is grief and wounds. So violence and spoil is hid. But it says, before me, what I'm seeing are grief and wounds. I'm hearing violent words, verbal abuse. But what I am seeing is this grief, is this wound, giving expression to itself with words. So to be able to deal with this, the symptom, we've got to get right to the root cause and see how this healing actually occurs. So Jesus says, well, if I tell you, husbands, love your wives, wives with this, he said, look, it is only whole people that can do this. If I tell you the exceeding great and precious promises, a future, right? We've got to resolve the heart first before you can powerfully walk into that. Now, I'll start by saying that one of the things that occurs when we don't handle painful circumstances that comes into our lives well, and we'll all have painful circumstances that will come. Jesus said, it is impossible, offense must come. Right? Impossible. Right? It says, woe to this world because of offenses, which means the world is cursed because offenses are not properly handled. But it says, offenses, all right, will come. Okay? Now, if we do not handle, and none of us have handled, right? Because some of it even came when we didn't know Jesus, so there's no chance of handling it right. Even with Jesus there, sometimes you do the wrong thing before you get yourself together. It's okay, I shouldn't have said that. All right, I'm sorry. Don't say that. Repent. Father, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I would give you a piece of my mind. All right, you have already, like somebody was a leader in school. All right, and was a very Holy Ghost guy. Everything, Holy Ghost, you know, Holy Ghost. One day was sharing with her, he said somebody brushed his car. He didn't know when he opened the door. And a flying kick from his own side, he had chopped the guy off. And he said, this is the Holy Ghost brother. Ka, ka, ka. And he sat down. And then he realized that something else, all right, was at work on the inside. So one of the things that occurs when we don't handle painful circumstances that come into our lives well, the way we relate with it is that we retreat, right? And we withdraw into a safe place where we can shield our emotions from further hurt and pain, and where we shield others out of our lives. And this is what happens to all of us. What that means is that you experience some form of pain from somebody or people. And what you do is that you shield your life there. In fact, yesterday, I realized that I just saw something. There was a classmate. It was in the morning. She was her birthday. I've not seen her since we left secondary school in 84. All right? But she was her birthday, so her brother put it up. We were not even friends on Facebook, so I went, looked for her name. She's married now. And then I just put out a note there saying, happy birthday, I heard it. And, you know, even in school, maybe we spoke once or twice. And she just came back and said, how are you? Pastor? How are you? How is your wife? I hope you are representing us well. You will have taught us, you know, we are homies, you know, and all that. Said, when are you coming to Abuja? Do you come? I said, I come often. Said, make sure you must see me. We must talk. All right. And all of this and all of that. And I felt so, honestly, love and genuine friendship. And I realized that
Sometimes when you pull out, you know, trying to save yourself, you lose a lot. Do you get what I'm saying here? A lot of people that will be of good help. I will say this here. A lot of networks that God will use just the fear. Some ladies, man, have gone through broken relationships, and every man now is branded. Even if Jesus comes in flesh and comes, and Jesus starts talking, you will see, I told you these people, I told you. All right, men, look at what he's saying. Look at what he's saying. This is Jesus. So as he starts the conversation, I told you. I told you. Can you see what he said? What does this mean? You read other meanings that nobody said. You know, Jesus was sharing with the people. When he had multiplied loaves, they entered into the boat. The disciples looked and saw that there was only one loaf of bread there. And they started wondering about it. So Jesus just came to teach. This is after he multiplied 5,000 men ate. Jesus entered the boat and said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They said, listen, it's because we have only one loaf. That's why his message is tending towards leaven. Can you see? Jesus himself is disturbed by the fact we have only one loaf. I told you about this thing. Jesus also, can you see his message? So you even enter into a church, all right? They start sharing. Once you hear, all right? Everything you point your fingers, all right? And say, that's it. Because you've shielded everything yourself away. Now, we shield our emotions, all right, from further hurt. But the real problem is that when we shield our emotions and build that invisible wall around ourselves, we no longer grow emotionally from that point.
Thank you for listening.